If you would turn in your Bibles to Luke, the fifth chapter. I want to read a few verses in Luke, the fifth chapter, focusing in on verse 4. Luke, the fifth chapter, and verse 4. Now, when he had left speaking, that's Jesus, he said unto Simon, Peter, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering it, said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. I want to speak to you for just a few minutes on a topic found there in verse 4, where Jesus says, launch out into the deep. Launch out into the deep. I believe that we, through the lesson that is given here to Peter, I think that we can ourselves understand some things that God is calling us to do. And what he is calling me to do may be something very different from what he's calling you to do, are instructing you, are leading you, burdening you to do. Perhaps you have experienced a burden from the Lord before. I know that many times, especially in the ministry over the last 19 or so years, I can recall times when I felt just an impetus from the Lord, just a burden, from an unction from the Spirit to go and see this person or go and do this or do that. And many times, I often thought that, you know, sometimes if the folks catch on to what is happening with me, they're going to think I'm the harbinger of death. Because I can't tell you how many times that I would have an unction from the Spirit to go and see a person. And then a short time later, they were already sick and already down and already doing bad and maybe expected to recover or maybe weren't expected to recover. And I'd be the last person that saw them or the last person that prayed with them. I don't want to become the harbinger of death. But I'm just telling you that surely you have experienced those unctions from the Spirit when you just, something in your spirit was just witnessing to you that you need to go and do this. And there's been just a small handful of times that I didn't follow that. And I have learned from those small handful of times that when that comes to me from the Spirit of the Lord, I'm going to follow it because I regretted it every time that I didn't. Now, I tell you that personal testimony, because I believe that if you would ask Peter about this experience right here, he'd probably say the same thing, except, you know, his wasn't an unction from the Spirit. His was a direct command from the Lord Jesus Christ in his presence. If you want to get the background here very briefly, what you have is Jesus walks down by the Sea of Gennesaret, which was the Sea of Galilee, basically, at a different place. This is the second time that he has encountered Peter, by the way. And he will encounter Peter at either washing his nets or casting his nets. He'll do it three times. You'll read the last time in John, the 21st chapter, and after the resurrection. And thank goodness Peter finally got the message after the resurrection. You'll find in the book of Matthew the first encounter that he had with him, and Peter left his nets and followed the Lord. But here he is back in Luke, the fifth chapter, back doing the same thing again. Are we not like that? The Lord says, come follow me. The Word of God says it's clear. Go do this. And you go do it for a while, and the next thing you know, you're back in the trenches again. You're back in the ditch again. We're all like that. That's our human nature. If we don't maintain our focus on the Lord, we're just like Peter sinking down. He was walking on the water, but he lost his focus on the Lord. He's sinking down. That one time when we see that Peter, we say brave Peter was looking to show his stuff and be bold, right? No, if you look at it carefully, Peter was being a coward and he was cutting the other guys loose. He said, I want out of this boat. And Peter gets a hard time with us, doesn't he? We often bash Peter. We're a bunch of Peter bashers, aren't we? You know, but we really do. And justly so. I think Peter would say, yep, you're right. If he's the humble man that we see that he became as a disciple, I think he'd say, you ought to bash me. But I'm going to tell you right here is one place that we don't need to bash Peter. Because Peter did something that was totally against everything that he was feeling in nature. The Lord Jesus Christ, after he had gone into the bow or the front of the ship of Peter or one of the apostles, Peter's ship, and he stands up so he can see the people on the beach there. He might have been this high, as high as I am above you, and the people were on the beach. But he was above the people so that he could speak to all of them. And when he finished speaking, he turns to Peter. I can just see Peter sitting there in the boat listening to him, maybe off to the side or just looking up at him. And after he finishes preaching and telling the people what he tells them, he looks at Peter and he says, "Now launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." And you know, I'm sure the first thing that Peter thought before he said anything, there was a few occasions when he did probably think before he said something. And he looks at him, can you imagine what he was thinking? Do what? Now understand where Peter was. They had been toiling all night. They'd been working all night. And let me just say this, okay? They didn't have a little rod and reel or a cane pole going, whoo, and trying to pull it back in. Well, the cork didn't go down. Put another bait on there. That's not this type of fishing, okay? And I'm not bashing that type of fishing. I do that from time to time myself. This is man labor right here, let me tell you. Some of y'all may remember Elder Paul Law from down on the coast. Now, that brother was a tough a fisherman. He was a commercial fisherman. These guys right here are commercial fishermen. And they would stay out all night at times, and they would have these nets. And I can visually describe this to you because I have seen it myself. When Brother David Crawford and I were in Africa the second time, we were on the seashore, or at least in the bay next to the sea. And as we went down there and we walked in some of the areas that we had to walk and got to see some things, they actually had the old fishermen's ships out there with the nets laid out across them and washed out. We even went to the fish market, where they would take those fish that they had caught, and they were net fishing. They had these huge nets that they would throw out there. It was an amazing thing to see. You've probably seen it on a YouTube video or something like that, maybe. I'm sure you've YouTubed that, but you can if you want to. I'm sure it's out there. Commercial fishing like this in the old days. These men had been working and toiling all night. They hadn't had a wink of sleep all night. They would take these heavy nets, one or two of them on each end, and they toss them out there, and they would get them out there and float away from a little bit and then drag them back in. And they're bringing in nothing. You know, we would have the idea of them bringing in a boot or a spare tire, you know, falling out of the net. They didn't have spare tires back then, but that's what we would think. As a matter of fact, when I was a 10th grader in high school, I went shrimp fishing with some folks down there on the Gulf off of the coast of Alabama, actually in the bay at Orange Beach. And it was just a little bitty net. I mean, it wasn't nothing like what we're talking about here. But I remember when we threw the net out and we brought it in, that was the neatest thing. You know, there was a bunch of junk in there, but then there were these huge shrimp in there. Now, these guys were fishing for fish, and they were making a living doing this, and they'd been working all night. They had already launched out into the deep at their own will and doing their own thing, and they'd done it all night long, and they'd caught absolutely nothing. So when Jesus turns to him and says, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught," Simon answers and he says, "Master?" That's how we know he already knew who he was. He calls him Master. "We have toiled all the night and have taken nothing." You see his response? And yes, we can condemn that first half of his response. You know, he's just stating the obvious. Peter was pretty good about doing that, or what he perceived as the obvious. You know, this would be like someone who is a mechanic who knows how to operate engines and how to fix engines. It would be like somebody who's a mechanic coming to my office as an attorney and starting to school me or tell me how to practice probate law or how to file a lawsuit. Because here you have a carpenter, Jesus, who grew up in the carpenter shop, and he looks at the professional fisherman, and they don't even know that he's ever even been on the water before. Maybe they think he's a cane pole fisherman, if that's all that guy's ever done. He's not a fisherman. He's a carpenter. And so the carpenter looks at the professional fisherman, and he says, "Launch out into the deep." Can you imagine what Peter was thinking? This guy's a carpenter. What does he know? You know, a mechanic comes and tells, or a farmer comes and tells me, or, you know, I might even get offended if a prosecutor came and told me how to practice probate law and says, "This is what you need to do." What do you know? You don't do this. And here's Peter. He's a professional fisherman. He knows his stuff. He's making a living doing this. And here's the carpenter. And he says, we've already been there. We've already done this. And I'm sure he's thinking, what do you know? Notice what Peter said. He said, Master, we've toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Stating the obvious and the obvious frustration that he had. By the way, the word toiled right there means he's exhausted. That's the kind of toil. Listen, that word toil right there means that he's done something for a long period of time to no avail. Have you had issues like that in your life where you have done things and prayed things maybe even, or tried to fix it yourself and launched out on your way and your path to do your thing, and you have toiled until you are just exhausted? Well, I think Peter knows exactly how you feel, because he had done that all night long. That he was the professional. He's supposed to know where the fish were. And he has got nothing. He's got nothing. But watch what he says. Nevertheless, a very important word. Peter is saying this. Here's the obvious. This is what I see that's in front of me. This is how everything is from natural appearance. But Peter says, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. I tell you, that's an attitude we ought to have. That's that attitude that Brother Chris was talking about there when he stole my verse on Proverbs 16 and 3. Proverbs 16 and 3 says, to commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. I can't tell you how many times in counseling individuals that I have used that from young to old, because they say, I just don't feel like doing this. I just don't feel good. I just don't feel like this is going to be the right thing. When the Word of God says, go this way, and they're actually wanting to go the other way. I just don't feel like loving my husband or my wife. I just don't feel like dealing with my kids anymore. And I'll say Proverbs 16 and 3, it says it doesn't matter what your feelings are. It matters that you commit your works to the Lord, and your thought process will settle down. Now, if you know anything about modern psychiatry, and there's some good things about modern psychiatry, especially Christian psychiatry, Christian psychology, but if you know anything about the great bulk of modern psychiatry, it tells you to get your thoughts settled down and get your feelings worked out before you ever go and do anything. You know, and there may be some measure where some form of that will work, but I want you to know that God's got the mind figured out before modern psychiatry does. Instead of sitting back and waiting until your mind works it all out or your feelings get it all worked out, which is probably never, instead of waiting for that, he says, just get up and go do what you know is right. And the next thing you know, your little thought process is just going to trail along behind it. And I'm telling you from a personal testimony in myself and others that I have seen do that, it works. God's way works. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will do it. I will let down the net. I will launch out into the deep. You see, let me just get this to you. Every fiber of his being was saying, this is foolishness. Every fiber of his feelings was telling him, this isn't going to work. It's a carpenter telling me what to do. I'm a professional fisherman. How about that? You know, maybe sometimes when the professionals tell you what to do, I'll tell you this, in the practice of law, there's been many times that somebody has come and knocked on my door, and they may have come and knocked on my door and said, hey, Brother Tim, I need you to get me a divorce. And of course, I would say, no, I don't do that. I don't do that anymore, but I'll be glad to give you some marital counseling if you want that. And maybe they've come there. I can tell you certain instances where people have come and asked for that, and yet they submitted to marital counseling not thinking it would ever work out, and they're still married today. They came thinking this is my way. I'm going to go see the professional. But I want you to know there's a professional in heaven that knows a lot more than any professional like me or anybody else on this earth. That doesn't mean that all professional advice is not good. But I'll tell you this, if there's professional advice that goes against the Word of God, it is not good. Peter says, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And he launches out. When they had this done, it says they enclosed a great multitude of fishes. I've thought about that. I like to visualize things. I'm a visual learner. And I've sat back and I meditated about that. And I could just see in that, wherever they were, you know, that there was a whole school of fish over here on the back 40 acres of that lake. If that's a good way to put it by a farm boy. The back 40 acres of that area over there, that there's a whole school of fish over there, and they've just been over there all night. And they've been toiling and laboring and catching nothing because they're in the wrong spot. But then they launch out and they've got the Lord in their boat and they've got the instruction of the Lord to do this. And Peter says, I don't feel like doing it. I don't think it's the thing to do. But because you said to do it, I'm going to do it. And then they go out there and here come these fish. Whoa. They just keep coming. They come. If the Lord beckoned them to come or the Lord said, you're going to catch some fish, I can assure you that you're going to catch fish. I can just see those. It's just like a herd. That's what you school. School of fish comes. I'm a farm boy. We have herds of cattle. But a school of fish comes trudging over there. And all of a sudden, boom, they're in that net. I mean, and the men are just like, what? They can't believe it. You said, was it really that overwhelming to them? Just listen to what Peter says. Not only did it affect Peter, not only did Peter saying, nevertheless, even though every fiber of my being is against doing this, and I don't feel like doing this, I'm going to do it because the Lord said do it. Not only did it affect Peter, but it affected a lot of other people too. And I'll tell you, child of God, when you say, when you've launched out and done your thing, and you've come up with nothing, and you've caught nothing, and you have availed yourself of nothing with your plan and your way, when you launch out into the deep, as the Lord says, and let down your nets for a draught, whenever you do that, not only will it have an effect on you, but it will have an effect on others. There is no question about that. So Peter calls the partners. He says, come on, we got so much here, we can't carry it. And the ships begin to sink. And Peter gets so overcome. Now, you remember what his emotions were telling him of just a few minutes before. He talked about a guy going from one extreme to the other. I can identify with Peter. Maybe some of you can. Some of you may be a little more even keeled than I am, but I can get very high and I can get very low. And Peter was very low. I've done everything I can. My feelings are against this. And all of a sudden, he goes from being very low to being filled with emotions. Let me just say this about emotions. If you want the greatest high of emotions that you could ever experience in this life, you say, I want to feel good. Well, there are certain terms to feeling the best that you can feel when it comes to this right here. And in the condition of feeling the best that you can ever feel, your emotions being at the most peak that they can ever be, is nevertheless, at thy word, I will do what the Lord says. Somebody says, well, that doesn't feel good right when you first do it. Well, it may not have felt good when Peter first started doing it, but by the time it was over with, he's down on the ground crying his eyes out, depart from me, O Lord, I'm a sinful man. You see? People want to feel good. They want that emotion to be right. There is a price for the child of God to get their emotions right. And it is commit thy works unto the Lord and thy thoughts shall be established. It is to launch out into the deep and let your nets down when the Lord commands it. Otherwise, we're just casting our nets to no avail. And Peter says, depart from me. I pray to the Lord that every person under the sound of my voice has had that kind of experience. The great thing about this kind of experience is you don't just have to have it one time. It's kind of like what Brother Chris was talking about, remembering that first love and doing that first work. You can have this experience again and again because the Lord is so good. I'll tell you this, I may have shared this with you before, but one of the greatest experiences of my life was riding on Briley Parkway in 1997, 98, whenever I was listening to preaching on the radio. And I kept playing it back again and again as the Primitive Baptist preacher talked about the fact that Jesus just didn't die for some general body. Yes, he died for his people and he died for the general elect in general, if that's a good way to put it, all of the sheep. All of that number, but not only did he just die for that whole number as just a vague group, but he died specifically for me. And when that came to me, I tell you, I wanted to get out on my knees and say, depart from me, O Lord, for I am a sinful man. I've followed my way. I've lost out into my deep. I've cast my net out there. I've done what I wanted to do. And now I see that I need to be doing what the Lord wants me to do. Has that been your experience? Again and again. I was joking at church the other day. I said, I'd be happy to loan my Bible to anybody that needs it because my Bible has hands in it. Does yours, Brother Ronald? And I'll be sitting there reading sometimes. I'm reading my Bible and these hands come up out of my Bible and they go, woo, man. And sometimes they'll go, and sometimes they'll pull my nose and poke me in the eye. If you need to borrow my Bible sometime, I'll be glad to let you borrow it. Because I'll be sitting there at my desk studying sometimes, and I know my secretaries think I'm crazy. Because then I'll just start bawling my eyes out when I read something, and I realize it applies to me. And then when I read about Peter, in the middle of his work day, really after his, he's working overtime now, by the way, but when you're working overtime for Jesus, you're doing all right. He's working overtime for Jesus. And here he is in the middle of his work day in front of all these other manly men. And he falls down on the in the bottom of the boat and he cries out, I'm a sinful man. That is a great revelation to have. I hope you have that at your office next week. I hope you fall down in front of your coworkers next week and they think, oh, call the men with white jackets to come in here. I hope that that happens to you riding on Briley Parkway. I hope that you come to the end of yourself and see that no matter how much you cast out and no matter the plans that you have, that it comes back to what the Lord says to do. And oh, you go out full. You go out full. Is your net empty? If your net's empty, the Lord is telling you, launch out into the deep. Cast out the net again. When the Lord's in the matter, you bring it back full. May the Lord bless you.